What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppables bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. Get 6 times longer lasting freshness plus odor protection with Downy Unstoppables in wash scent beads.
Well, can you hear us? All right, so it is Mike. Can you get his mic on?
There
we go.
Hey.
So you hear the music. You recognize that song, don't you?
I can't hear the tune.
What?
I don't have the music.
Oh, maybe Joe turned the headphones down. But we'll fix that. We'll get that straightened out with his headphones over here. Anyway, it's Penny on the Floor.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we are here with, obviously, somebody who knows this song very intimately and, of course, wrote it, I think, right?
I did.
He wrote it. That's Scott Plazy from the Clarks, the lead singer of the Clarks, which is obviously what I would call one of the iconic bands, in at least in this Western PA.
Right,
I mean, you know, and listen, I go places all the time I travel, and it's funny, people know you guys all over the place. Some of your songs are real, sure. You know, really, really big time, right?
Yeah, for sure. We had a nice run late 90s, early 2000s. We were putting out records on major label, MCA and Razor and Tie, and traveled all over the country. And, you know, about a 10-year span, we were hitting it pretty hard. So, yeah, there's a lot of Clarks fans all over the country.
And that's got to be pretty cool for you, obviously. I mean, you guys are what, from Indiana, right?
Went to school. We all met at IUP.
Right.
We all went to school in Indiana. And I'm from Connellsville in Fayette County originally. And we all were in IUP in the mid-80s and hung out with the same group of people and just decided to, you know, form a band to have a little fun and meet girls and free beer. And one thing led to another. We moved to Pittsburgh after we graduated and started getting some radio play and quit our day jobs and never looked back.
That's incredible. I mean, I, you know, it was funny the other day we were talking about the best Tom Hanks movies. And my favorite one is That Thing You Do, which have you ever seen that?
Yeah, now, absolutely.
Now, I mean, obviously, you know, it's probably not a direct parallel, but there are probably some elements to that movie that you can relate to, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Like you started out sort of as that kind of band, right?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, you're making your way, you're writing songs, you're talking to people, management and booking agents and learning the business. You know, that was a big thing. You know, when we first started our first 4 or 5 years, you know, just figuring out the business end of it, you know, because, you know, you sort of focus on, well, we're writing songs and we're playing gigs. But at some point you have to, you know, you have to treat it like a business.
Right. Like, I think the thing that is, you know, for them, it was like they went from like doing shows, little small shows at pizza places or whatever to going to Pittsburgh. Like, when was that? What was like the first, wow, like this is like the big time or whatever moment for you guys?
Well, you know, there's one that really stands out. It was probably 1996, I think. You know, we'd been together for 7 or 8 years, and the Pittsburgh music scene in the 90s had some really successful bands, obviously Rusted Root, Gathering Field, Brownie Mary, and a handful of others. And we scheduled a show at Star Lake Amphitheater, called the Surge Festival, and it was all local bands. We were the headliner, and it was Gathering Field, Brownie Mary, and a bunch of other bands. And you know, we were all thinking, oh, if we do 5 or 6,000 people, we'll be happy. And ended up doing 17,000-18,000 people, and just looking out over a sea of people and hearing everybody sing our songs. It was a pretty cool moment. It was right around the time we had signed our first major label record deal. And that was a real a wow moment. Like, yeah, we're on our way here, I think.
Yeah, we're on our way. Now, do you guys obviously have your hits and you have the songs? Like, whenever you do shows, people want. Are you still writing new music
all the time?
Really?
Yeah. In fact, we just released a song about 3 or 4 weeks ago called Supernatural. It's available on all streaming platforms. You know, Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you listen to your music. And you can find that stuff on clarksonline.com. But yeah, we're writing songs all the time, Paul. And now the way the industry has changed so radically over the last 10, 20 years, we release a song at a time every month and a half, 2 months, you know, the days of putting out an album. And we'll still do that when we have enough tunes to make an album. You know, everything's an algorithm.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you have to play the game. So you put out a song, you try to get on Spotify playlists, and you try to get recognition for that song, and then you move on to the next tune.
Right. It's not like the old days when whenever you put out an album and you obviously had the royalties and all those kind of things. I mean, now you put out new music, it's probably a little harder to make money.
Well, yeah.
On new music, right?
Right. Yeah, you don't make money from releasing songs. I look at it like you release new music as a promotional tool to get people to come to your shows and maybe buy a T-shirt. That's where we make our money,
right?
From ticket sales and merchandise sales.
Right. How delicate of a balance is it when you do your shows to make sure that you satisfy your longtime listeners or whatever,
right?
So you play all the hits, you know, and all the ones that, you know, from that people know, or the songs that people know from all of your albums,
right?
But also mixing in newer songs. Like, how do you try and do that every show? Or
It's definitely a balance, and there are definitely songs from our past that we've been playing for 20, 25, 30 years that we could never play again and be quite happy about it. But you know, we respect the fact that people are spending their hard-earned money and taking their time out to come see the band. They want to hear Penny on the Floor. They want to hear Cigarette and Born Too Late. So we're going to play those songs for them. But we're also going to play new material, and we're going to reach back into our catalog and play some deep cuts that we like, and just to make it interesting for us. And we have a lot of hardcore fans that really like the deep cuts and the old stuff. So it makes people happy, you know, if we play stuff that they haven't heard for quite a few years.
Right. There's no question. I mean, yeah. I think, like I said, people know your music.
Right.
And again, I'm a child of the 80s. So, and I go to a lot of bands. I go to see a lot of bands.
Right.
Like last year when I saw Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, right.
And maybe the year before was Motley Crue.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? I want to hear mostly the songs that I know.
Yeah.
You know, and but I don't mind if it's a full show if they mix in some of the stuff they're working on or trying to put together some of the newer stuff, right?
Sure, it's only 3.5-4 minutes. I can sit through a new song.
If you're a fan of the band,
right?
I like your music,
right?
So I'm sure your new songs have similar sounds to what your band is. I mean,
right.
I mean, it's not like you're probably going to venture off and do a country song,
right?
Right?
Yeah. For
so,
sure.
It's just, I mean, how do, I guess, you know, you do you still try and get played on the radio? Is that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's still some radio stations in the region that will play our material. And absolutely, that's still a good way to reach new fans. I mean, we've been doing this we're on our 38th year, but we're still moving forward. You know, you're still trying to make new fans, and we still do. I mean, there's still people that are discovering. It's the beauty of music. You know, it can be out there forever. People are still discovering our band as they're discovering any other bands from the 70s or 80s or 90s.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I think there's a lot of people out there that probably would really, really enjoy your music if they heard it.
Absolutely. And you know what? I think it's interesting, too, because my kids, I have three teenage daughters, and they love, you know, they love Billy Joel, and they love old stuff, and they love 80s music. And I think it's really interesting because we're talking now about music that's 40 years old, 50 years old.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, when I was in the late 70s, early 80s, listening to music, I wasn't listening to music from the 40s. I wasn't listening to my dad's music. But these days, the way, because, you know, obviously maybe the internet and the way people consume music and find it on YouTube or it's in a TikTok video. Like, I'll ask my kids, like, how do you know that song? It's like, well, it's in a really popular TikTok. They love that old stuff, and I think it's really cool that they dig it. I took my two teenage daughters to see Billy Joel a couple summers ago at PNC Park, and we had a great time. And so I think people are still discovering the Clarks. in that very same way. We played a gig a month or so ago down in my hometown, an outdoor river festival in Connellsville. This guy came up from Mississippi, him and his son, discovered our band a couple years ago, was like, we're going to see the Clarks, we're going to Pennsylvania. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I know people, they'll drive a couple hours, but to,
right.
To make a road trip from Mississippi to come see the band, that's pretty cool.
Well, that's really, it's interesting you bring up social media. You know, your daughters are, teenagers, right?
Yeah, so, 19, 17, and 15.
So they're right in the wheelhouse
right.
for things like TikTok and things like all this kind of stuff.
Right.
It is true. If you ever look at TikTok videos, a lot of them, I tell you the one, I'm a big Earth, Wind, and Fire guy. One that's like going viral right now where everyone's doing a dance to is that Let's Groove Tonight.
Let's Groove Tonight. Sure.
Like, it's... I guess there's some sort of dance thing where, someone put out there, this is the dance to here's the challenge, dance to Let's Groove Tonight. Here's the challenge. And they do the dance. And then, of course, people are trying to replicate it.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, exactly what you just said. These are like teenagers primarily that really use these apps. But a lot of the music is older stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm an Earth, Wind, and Fire guy too, Paul.
Yeah.
And the Commodores. I grew up on that stuff. I used to listen to Wham-O when
yes. I was a kid. Well, Wham-O is now part of our station.
Yeah.
Nice. Our station's over here. And I actually went to see, I saw Earth, Wind, and Fire and Lionel Richie 2 weeks ago down at PPG. And I got to be honest with you, I've seen Earth, Wind, and Fire more than 15 times in my life. This was probably one of their better shows over the last four or five. Not that I love their shows. They're always good.
Right.
But I thought they were really, there was just another level of energy and everything with them. And then, of course, Lionel Richie, 75 or whatever he is years old, you don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
He was unbelievable.
Sounded good.
He was unbelievable. So, that's the other question that people have quite often is, as long as your voice is healthy, you're going to keep rolling, right?
Oh, for sure. I'm going to be 60 years old this year. And honestly, I'm singing better than I ever have.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What is it? Just, you feel like?
I take better care of my body now. I stopped partying, to be perfectly honest. During COVID, I started running.
Yeah.
I have more stamina. I have more energy. I have more lung capacity.
How far do you run?
I'll do 3 or 4, 5 or 6 mile runs a week.
Yeah.
So it's not crazy.
No, that's pretty good.
That's good stuff. And I swim too on my off days, just a sort of recovery swim at the Upper St. Clair Rec Center. But it's as much a mental workout as it is a physical one. It just feels good mentally and spiritually.
Yeah, I think I would say that that's the biggest thing is if working out in general.
Yeah,
I think is something that's good for everybody.
I preach it to my kids constantly.
Right,
movement.
Right,
get your butt, get out of bed, move your body. we're made to move.
Right,
made to move.
So you think so? Here's what I've always asked. Like for instance, let's take some of the bands that I said that I saw the last couple of years. I often thought, boy, I wonder if they could go back to their 20s or 20, when the 25, 26, when they were rolling, when they were on tour. And of course, I'm sure you've seen the movie The Dirt.
Yeah.
So you probably have a good idea of what they were doing when they were right. If they could, because I've read a lot of other, I do a lot of reading about musicians and music, and I'm really into the whole thing. A lot of them are like you that are older now. They work out.
Mm-hmm.
They do things like swim and run.
Right.
They try and take care of themselves. Is just, a reality of all of us getting older.
Right.
But especially if you have a job that's really dependent on you being healthy.
Yeah. And I was talking to Dave, our drummer, last weekend when we were doing a show, or 2 weekends ago, and drumming is particularly physical. And singing,
right?
Probably more so than just playing a guitar. And as you get older, if you want to continue doing it, you've got to be in shape. I've seen videos of Mick Jagger in the last few years. I mean, he's amazing. I mean, what 80 years old?
Yeah.
He moves on stage like he's in his 30s. I mean, it's just It's really inspirational. Rock and roll as a whole is getting older, and I want to be able to continue to do it for another 10, 15, 20 years.
So. It's not that much, you know, obviously we talk about sports a lot here on this station. It's not that much different than athletes.
You gotta... It's very similar. In fact, I've heard people talk about, I'm a vocal athlete. I mean, really is a conscious thing now on a daily basis, the way I take care of my body, the way I take care of my throat, to be able to do what I do, because I'm super busy. This time of year, I'm playing 4 gigs, maybe 5 gigs a week. Back to back nights, and you have to. I don't raise my voice ever. I talk at a pretty low volume.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of sleep. Sleep is critical, and a lot of water. Just drink a lot of water. And I just don't drink alcohol. I don't inhale anything anymore.
That helps.
Yeah.
I'm sure that helps.
But, you know, when you're 25 and 30 years old, it's you know, you can get away with stuff like that, but I can't do that anymore.
Right. I think that's important. I mean, like I said, when you're young, you're kind of, you think you're invincible.
You're bulletproof.
You're bulletproof, yeah. And it's, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, that similar thing happened with me in a different way. You know, we were joking about back when I was in my 20s, late teens, early 20s, I used to eat horrifically. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now I get to be 53, 54, you know, I got diabetes. And it's like, now I got it. Now I have to really take care of myself.
Right.
But the bottom line is, and it's manageable. It is what, you know, it is what it is. But I'm just saying, like, if I could go back to my 20s.
Sure.
Like, for instance, we were talking about, the eating contest, the hot dog eating contest.
Oh, I heard you guys. I was listening to you on the ride. I can't even imagine.
But I was telling them a story when, you know, this is how I used to be. I mean, when I was, especially when my metabolism, as I was a swimmer, I was I was real athletic. It'd be nothing for me to eat 7 or 8 Big Macs in a sitting.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, nothing. Nothing. You know?
Even back when I was that age, maybe I could do 2.
Right. And so what I'm saying is, when you're young,
yeah, for sure,
you don't think about the fact that you're going to be old someday. You look at all the old people and you're like, oh, look at them. I mean, you know, but you don't think 30 years, that's going to be me.
Right.
So do you guys have injuries that you have to worry about? Like, you know, I would think like, you know, wrist injuries or, you know, I mean, just from the repetition of using muscles or whatever. Right. I mean, are there times when you have to, you know, either take a break or wear a brace or something to try and get through a show?
We've all had injuries in the past, and Dave's dealing right now with some elbow issues. Rob and Greg, not so much injuries from playing or performing, but, you know, as we're all aging, we're all in that 60 range, you know, we're having health issues that pop up from time to time. And for me, like, I'm so aware of the first inkling that I'm getting maybe a little sinus infection or a little sore throat. I've got to be really careful because it'll migrate to my throat if I'm singing, and then I have to be really careful about that. That's not really an injury necessarily,
right,
but that's what I have to deal with. And I move around on stage a lot. I'm it's a very physical 2 hours on stage, and just have to be careful. I've sprained ankles when I was younger. I'd jumping off stages and, you know, back in the day, I had a few injuries just from being crazy on stage.
Well, I mean, the one thing that, the one thing that's pretty cool about you is you also were into basketball. You played basketball, you know, back in the day. At Connellsville, right? You
Connellsville were like High School.
You were really good at Connellsville,
1982,
right?
We had a great team.
And then at IUP, you were somewhat of an intramural legend?
Yeah.
Or did you actually, I forget, did you actually play some?
I didn't play for IUP, no.
Yeah.
I was more interested in other extracurricular activities. I didn't have quite the fortitude, let's say, to do that. But, I grew up playing sports. I mean, I was like you. I was a little kid, played baseball, was on Little League baseball. We were Connellsville's Little League state champs. 1977, I was on the state championship Little League team, played baseball my whole, you know, growing up as a kid. That was really my first love. And then, you know, got tall, I could jump, I started playing basketball and loved football. I was good at football, fast and had good hands, and my mother just absolutely refused to let me play play organized football.
Yeah.
Well, she had, you know, she had a, actually had a friend, good friend of hers, whose son, who's 5 years, 6 years my senior, was seriously injured in a high school football game. And after that, she's like, there's no way. So I, you know, and I never would have become, you know, a serious football player, but I look back now and I'm healthy. My knees are still good. And
yeah,
I'm
exactly.
not beat up from it, but, yeah, man, loved basketball. Just, you know, Connellsville is a rich, sports history, you know, growing up as John Woodruff, Olympic gold medalist, 1936, won the gold medal in the 800 meters. We all knew who John Woodruff was Johnny Lujack, Heisman yeah. Trophy winner from right. Connellsville. So there was a real rich history of that and some professional athletes in the 70s. Bobby Baylor played baseball from Connellsville, and Bubby Braxton, OJ's right. Blocking back. He was yeah. a Connellsville guy. And so we all knew who those people were. And, you know, in the 70s, you know, there obviously no social media. And you know, you come home from school and you put on some play clothes and you go across the basketball court and play basketball and play football in the backyards of friends' houses, and you know, just loved it.
Do you still get to do you still play any pickup basketball?
I don't really play pickup. Me and my daughter play. We have a hoop in the driveway and we play pig or horse, you know, all the time. It's a lot of fun to shoot with her.
Are they in any sports? Are you a sports dad?
My daughter loves basketball. My youngest daughter loves basketball. The older ones played. Yeah, you know, they played soccer growing up, yeah. and they played lacrosse, and they're more theater kids. They're a little more artsy, but my youngest loves basketball. She's just and now with the, you know, the Caitlin Clark phenomenon, she's been sort of reinvigorated. They all love it, and in fact, my middle daughter, who's a real talented performer in musical theater, she loves Paige Beckers,
yeah,
from UConn. So they're always talking about, we want to go see these female athletes perform. And so I'm looking, you know, like UConn, and it's like, well, Georgetown's not too far away. You can maybe go to DC and see her play, or, you know, go to, you know, Indianapolis is not that far if you want to go see Caitlin Clark play.
Right. That's the thing.
Yeah.
In fact, you could probably, if you did it right, well, next year, you probably catch them playing against each other in a WNBA
right.
game. You know what I mean?
Right.
But you're right. Connecticut plays Villanova, which is not that far.
That's, yeah, right.
Georgetown, right. Villanova. If you wanted to take your family a little trip to New York City, St. John's.
Right, St. John's,
you
yeah.
know? And so, I mean, here's the thing. As somebody who covered the Big East for a lot of years, the Connecticut women are like rock stars when you, especially if you go up there. Mm. But even no matter where they were, they're like rock stars.
Yeah.
And even though they haven't won a national title in like 7 or 8 years, they're still
right.
like rock stars in many ways. UConn is UConn.
Yeah.
And so if you go up to, you know what's really cool is, I obviously covered them a bunch at the, I don't even know what it's called anymore, the Hartford Civic Center, whatever that, it was mm-hmm. for a long time, I think maybe the XL Center, I don't think it's that anymore. Or I'd cover them at Madison Square Garden, or they would actually come, maybe remember Pitt was in the Big East, they'd come here
sure.
and play, but a few times I got to go up to cover them in stores,
oh,
on
yeah.
campus,
right.
that smaller little facility, that was, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So that's something you should just see. That's something you should do for your daughter.
Yeah, I think we're going to try to make sure they get to see their heroes.
Yeah, take her to see a UConn
right,
game, right?
Right.
So what grade is she in? Is she?
She'll be a senior in high school,
okay.
the middle one. And like you said, she, you know, Paige is a rock star.
Right.
Because, you know, my daughters are well aware of who all these amazing female athletes are that are
right.
at college and now pro. You know, the the profile has just jumped way up in the last couple of years.
Right.
It's awesome to watch.
Well, I think the other part of it is if your younger daughter starts getting into it, like really getting into it, you might have to become a sports dad.
That would be okay with me. I'd be very happy to be a sports dad or a theater dad. So
yes. Yeah.
I'll do whatever it takes.
I think, you know, you have three daughters. You've got to be, it's because, you know, I have a daughter. You have to be happy at the explosion of the last 2 years of women's basketball.
For sure.
I mean, just because it's so important for them to have role models, you know, of their own.
Right.
You know, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's been the thing that's, I think, a lot of people miss.
Right.
You know, it's good for young girls to have role models.
Absolutely.
And so that's a big thing. If you were to play one-on-one against, could you still get it in, play one-on-one?
Oh, yeah. I'll post it up there.
I'm just wondering, we have a Pony who sits in that chair for in the afternoon. Pony sits in that chair.
Andrew, can he play?
Andrew, he thinks he can play. he's willing to challenge anybody.
He tosses up threes.
Yeah.
So
well, he claims he made nine in a row.
I've heard that.
He claims that he made 12 in the basketball hoop.
Yeah. City Limits just weighed in. He said he claims now that he made 12 in a row at a swimming pool basketball hoop, which I don't even know that. Does that even count?
No.
That's great.
I mean, come on. I mean, that's – but that – yeah, no, I think we might have to set this up. You against Pony. I think
– I could still run.
Yeah, it would be fun to watch you beat Pony. you know, we have that we have that 3-on-3 thing at the in August, you know, if benefits like one of these veterans organizations.
Right.
But Pony always shows up. You ever see what's the movie where? Oh, The Water Boy. Did you ever see The Water?
I've or never
not the
seen
Water Boy? Not The Water Boy. I'm sorry. The one with Jim Carrey where he's the cable guy. The cable guy.
I'm aware of the movie. I don't think I've ever seen
it. But anyway, there's a scene where, you know, Jim Carrey shows up at, you know, a gym to play pickup basketball.
Yeah.
You know, and he's got the headband and the, you know what I mean?
Right.
The elbow pads and the knee pads, and he's really like, that's phony. He shows up at the court, he's got the headband and the wrist, you know, the wristbands, and he's like real intense and into it. So we might have to set that up. What do you think?
I'm in.
Uh-huh. Anyway, we've got Scott here with us for the hour, so that's really good stuff.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.